When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 178 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Florence.
Welcome to the podcast.
It's been long a while. Time no see, Flo Flo.
It's been a while.
So this episode is sponsored by Katie Signs. Thank you, Other Katie.
Thank you, Other Katie.
Today we will be discussing the... Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Dang it. Restart? No, keep going. Second half of chapter 30 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Grop. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to stomp your way through the details. Do you like what I did there?
Oh my god.
Yes, you're welcome. It.
You should have ripped your trees through the details. Get it? Rip it up trees.
I get it. Let's go to Megan for some kind of sad, but also if you are a video gamer, you can probably understand this news.
Yeah, so Hogwarts Legacy is delayed for a whole year. No. Yes, a whole year. April, right?
I am not surprised.
Yes. I read the article. I think it's April of 2022 now. It's coming out. I'm kind of okay with this. I really want to play this game, and I cannot afford a PlayStation 5 right now. So, yeah.
Well, you can't even get one right now, to be honest with you.
Correct. So I'm glad that it's going to give some people more time to get the systems, some more time for the companies to make more systems. What is wrong with me today? I don't know what's going on. And also,
I got a fever for a video game.
I also don't want them to rush this game out because I want it to be really good. And if there's bugs with it and there's something wrong with it, don't give it to me that way. I hate when that happens. It's frustrating. So I think that this is probably better news than dealing with a game that is not up to par. So,
yeah. And if you want something else to compare it to, Breath of the Wild was delayed. And I mean, if you think about it, the sequel to Breath of the Wild has been delayed. We got like a trailer and everybody got like so excited and we haven't really heard anything since. And if you have played Breath of the Wild more than Megan,
how many minutes have I played it?
About four.
Oh god, no, but it was well worth the wait. The game is gorgeous. It's, I mean, everything about it. I have nothing to complain about with that game.
Me either.
Yeah, I know you don't. You're so easygoing though. But like, this can only mean good things in the long run. I'm sure COVID had something to do with it as well.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, this is for the best, because if you think about it, like, you can't even get these consoles right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not just wait a little bit longer?
There's been a sign up at Target forever saying like PS5 out of stock.
Yeah.
And I'm not even looking for it. It's just like right at the front of the store. They don't even want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn around. Go out.
Yeah. So that's all I got for the weekly profit. But make sure to follow us on Spotify by clicking the follow button on our page. And share this episode with your friends by clicking the three dots in the corner of the episode page. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to our exclusive Discord channel, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. And thank all of you so much for your support. We would not be able to do this without you.
True, very, that. Very true.
Yep.
So,
what time is it? Time
is it?
What time? Whoa, you owe me a Coke.
I don't have anything new for this.
Just do old school. Recap.
Classic. Classic. All right. Last time, the whole school, especially Peeves, are making sure Fred and George's mission of mischief carries on. They're giving Umbridge the absolute worst time, and all the teachers are kind of just going along with it, which is hilarious. It's also time for another Quidditch match. I think the final. Yes, the final Quidditch match. And Ron's like, well, I suck pretty bad anyways. Can't really get much worse. Why am I even worrying?
I suck pretty bad.
But Harry and Hermione can't even watch the match, even if it will be sad. And they think they won't win because Hagrid comes and asks them to help him with something in the forest.
I like how you say the question.
So your voice goes up like this at the end.
As Katie has, you know, regaled us, Harry, Hermione, and Hagrid are indeed in the woods. So it turns out Hagrid has a half brother that he's brought back with him, and he put him in the forest. What? Hagrid wants them to come visit him, his brother, after he gets sacked, which is happening any day now, basically, is what he thinks. Turns out that centaurs are not pleased with Hagrid anymore after he interfered with Ferenc, but they let him and the kids leave the forest. And it turns out that Gryffindor won the game!
Spoilers!
And the cup.
Mm.
Sorry, fellow Ravenclaws. It's like the Browns this week. We're probably going to lose.
A lot in this chapter made me really sad that it didn't make it into the movie.
Oh, you're not kidding, are you?
Yeah.
I am not kidding.
There's so much in these last movies.
Well, like, I feel like a lot of the like this Quidditch stuff happened in the next movie, right?
Some of it. Yeah.
Did something with like I almost said with Ron. Hagrid on the team. Getting him so mixed up, like with Ron getting on the team and then like winning and like, you know, smooching Lavender. But I'm like, that's the next book. But I'm like, why do I think it's this book?
So many kisses.
Lips are getting shaped. Look,
I love that line.
So good. There's so many. As much as I like to complain about the last movies, there are such bright spots in them, especially in Half-Blood. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Half-Blood. So I pulled up the doc from the last episode just to get a little bit of a feel for where we're starting at now. So Sasa wrote that, you know, turns out that Grop didn't actually want to come back with Hagrid, but you know, Hagrid did it anyway. Hermione's like,
what? Why?
And so we find out that after Hagrid's mom left his dad, she went and, you know, had another baby. And this is Grop. And so Harry says, Grop? Question? And Hagrid said, you know, that's what it sounds like when he says his name. And then I went to look up what it meant. It doesn't mean anything. I truly think that's the point behind the name. Because, you know, Hagrid literally can't understand him. So it kind of is like, yeah.
What do you think his name is?
Gary.
Where does the P come from?
I don't know.
I mean, I bet that it's probably pretty close to Grop because they have...
It might be Grop.
Yeah, because they have weird names.
They have... Sounds like a typical giant name.
Yeah.
I love that moment. Everybody looked at me like, what?
So I pulled up the Harry Potter wiki and it's just like there's nothing there talking about early life of Grop. Born post 1931, also a question. We don't really know.
Well, they're probably saying that at whatever year Hagrid was born.
Yes. Son of Fred Wulfa and some unnamed giant. I wonder if it was also a smaller giant, you know, since he's a shorty.
Does it ever say like how tall his mom was?
I can look that up, but Grop is
16 feet.
About 16 feet. Go ahead and Danny DeVito that.
3.318 DeVitos.
I think we did this at the end of the last episode.
I'm sure we did. It always is nice to hear it again though.
Thank you, Paisha.
Yeah. He's just a smaller giant, so he was getting picked on by the other ones. I'm not surprised by this, given the behavior that Hagrid was talking about with them and how they killed the Gurg and all of that. So Grop is a full-blooded giant, and he was abandoned because of his size. And I almost, without reading a little bit into it in the last episode, I was like, I wonder if, you know, something happened to Fred Wulfa. But I guess that's just like a thing with giants. Like if they're on the smaller side, they don't like them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like, you know, the like run to the litter. Of you're not what we view as like the best, so we're gonna.
So there's like within each, like, you know, we see it with wizards. You know, you're not pure blood, or you know, you're muggle born. Blah blah blah. You're not as good as me. It's just interesting to see that's a common thread within the books. So Hagrid's getting really anxious at this point, and he continues to tell them about Grop. Grop doesn't speak a lot of English, and he goes on to say that he doesn't think his mother liked Grop much, just like she didn't like Hagrid much. Quote, see, with giantesses, what counts is producing big kids, and he's always been a bit on the runty side for a giant, only 16 foot. Hermione loses her mind again at this point, and she says, oh, yes, tiny, absolutely minuscule, in a kind of, like, hysterical, sarcastic, she's freaking out. And honestly,
she's
like...
She's majorly freaking out.
Well, think about the... Who blames her? I think about the story she heard. They ripped his head off. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
R.I.P. And so Hagrid informs them that Grop was being kicked around by the other giants, and there's no way that he could have left him there. Also, rightfully so. And then we get the info about Madame Maxime and what she's been up to. Quote, she could see it was right important to me, said Hagrid, twisting his enormous hands. But she got a bit tired of him after a while, I must admit. So we split up on the journey home. She promised not to tell anyone, though. And I'm thinking about his body language in this moment. He's visibly anxious. He's wringing his hands.
and he's desperate for help.
Yeah.
And I really want to give him a hug.
Yeah.
But I can't because he's fictional. And so Harry asks how he managed to get him back to Hogwarts without anybody noticing. And that's the part that took so long, because they could only travel by night and they could only go through what is they call the wild country. So they wouldn't be noticed. And Grop kept wanting to go back. So it was really difficult to cover a lot of ground. And I wonder if that's where Hagrid got like the bulk of those injuries when he was trying to like, no, we have to keep moving forward. And Grop's like, no, I gotta go back. I wonder if maybe some tussles happened
when
he was trying to get him.
Yeah.
How would he have gotten back, like, if Hagrid had let him? Like, would he have known how to get back to where he came from?
I think it would have been a real big mess for the ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he would have known. I think he would have just walked back. Maybe he would have followed their trail. Maybe, like, the broken, like, tree limbs and things. I think the ministry
would have heard him.
Huh?
I agree.
Katie asked if he would have survived, and I don't think he would have.
I think wizards would have killed him.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I don't.
For sure.
I think the ministry would have, more specifically.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I definitely meant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what took so long. Quote, oh, Hagrid, why on earth didn't you let him? Referring to letting him go back. Said Hermione, flopping down onto a ripped up tree and burying her face in her hands. What do you think you're going to do with a violent giant who doesn't even want to be here? Okay, I get that Hermione only wants the best for Hagrid. This is a theme we see with Hermione through this book. She wants what's best, right? And when Hermione, like, gets in her mind what is best, that's what she goes with. But I don't think that she's thinking about the whole picture, because she's really terrified. So she's like blocked from kind of having the empathy that I would want her to have. So I'm not faulting her for this moment, because she truly is scared, but that's his family and he was being hurt. So I can understand it. Oh, lordy, lordy.
Megan, you can go first.
Who's first?
I don't know if it's this. I don't think it's this chapter. I think it might be the next episode we are recording. You can tell how on edge Hermione is going forward for the next while they're like studying and going through OWLs and everything. And I think that it's in her personality where if she has anxiety over something, you're right. She doesn't have any empathy for a situation. She doesn't. It's very much like she takes her anxiety out on others and probably says the wrong things because she's frustrated and she's scared. So she snaps out at people. And I can relate because I do that sometimes. Like she genuinely is just, she's really scared. I would be. I'm not saying that I would have reacted any differently than Hermione either, just because, like it's hard whenever you know as Hermione that no matter what you say, Hagrid's not going to hear you. Even if you say it in a nice way, he's going to like brush it off somehow. But also at the same time, she's not going to think about the fact that this is family. She's thinking this is a half giant who's incredibly dangerous and doesn't want to be here. And Hagrid is putting himself in danger. And I'm scared for him and I'm scared for us because he's just asked us to take care of this giant. So I think we're going to see more of how Hermione reacts to this, like in the coming pages of the book. And like it's just in her personality. So
I'm just going to say that I disagree a little bit. I think she does have some empathy for him. But we know that Hermione is a very logical person. And like Megan was saying, like she is terrified. So she's just going to say exactly what she's thinking. And she is, for her, the logically of having, or logistics or whatever, of having Grop there and what's going to happen is going to outweigh. Yes, she does feel bad, like that is his family, but like regardless of that, like all of these other things are going to happen, and you really need to look at that bigger picture of what are the consequences of you bringing him here? And she is just, she's terrified. Like, cause that is something, like, you're walking into the woods. It's kind of scary already. You're already out of like your element. You don't know what else is in there. You just know that there's a lot of things that can kill you there. Right. So she's already like out of her comfort zone. And then you see a giant who's 16, 15 feet tall. Like, of course she's going to be scared. And she's also scared for Hagrid, like they were saying. Mm-hmm. So logically she's thinking like, you shouldn't have done this. So it's just, for me, in my head, Canada, it's outweighing her empathy that she does have for him. I'm not saying, I don't think she doesn't have any. I think she has some. She's just.
I think you worded what I was thinking better. Yeah, because I agree. Like, I do think, I think it's just like pushed to the back right now because she's very focused on, these are the issues with this situation and we need to like rectify it. And I think that, what was I going to say? The other thing is, like, she is genuinely really scared for OWLs, too. Like, we all know how good of a student she is. And, like, sure, you could brush it off and be like, Hermione, oh, my God, you're fine. Like, you're going to do great. But she, I mean, like, that's her Boggart, right? Like, failing.
Yeah.
So, I think part of that goes deeper into being, like, she's not worthy because she's being told all the time by, like, anybody, like, all the Slytherins and Malfoy and, like, that, you know, oh, you're a Muggleborn, but you're so smart. But like, why can't you just be smart? Why can't you just be a good student?
She has to try really hard.
But they're always, it's always saying like, well, she's a Muggleborn. Well, she's a Muggleborn. Well, like, why does that even matter? So and I think in the back of her head, she's always thinking that she has to prove herself because she is a witch, but she's getting told constantly that you're really like, you're the brightest witch of her age. Like for a Muggleborn, kind of, you know what I mean? I think that's
right. There's like that backhanded comment, like, wow, you're a really bright witch for being a Muggleborn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like, oh, you're really strong for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. To go back to Hagrid, though, Sarah, you mentioned something about like in the end, like these are all the things that could happen, you know, because of you doing this. But when Hagrid is bringing him back, it's either I take the chance at someone finding out about this and something happens to me and them, or we could potentially like keep this a secret, or my brother's going to be killed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. And I guess like in my head, if I was Hagrid, Grop's coming back with me.
And I think it shows like a great kind of juxtaposition of, we know like Hermione is genuinely like a good person, like Harry's a good person, you know what I mean? So like when she writes these characters and you is it Sirius the one that's like, everybody's got some light and some dark in them, it's like what you choose to do. So like all of these people are doing good choices and doing what they think is best for Hagrid, his family, because this is the only blood that he has left, and he's willing to like, again, risk being seen, risk his brother harming him because he doesn't want to be there because that's his family.
Yeah.
And that's what he views as important right now. Where Hermione's also thinking like of Hagrid and herself. And she's got, again, everybody here has like 80 things on their brain. She's thinking of school. She's thinking about Grop. She's thinking about Ron and Quidditch. Really, realistically, she's thinking about the war and about Marietta and all of those things, like they all have all of these things. And she's thinking about Harry's dreams.
Girl is stressed.
All of them have all of these things on their minds.
Yeah.
And they have to choose like which one, like how they're going to go at it. And like, you know, nature versus nurture, like their personalities go into making that decision, how they make their decisions. All of those things are going to be how they come to what they think is best for themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's a question going on in the Discord chat right now. Is Dumbledore aware of Grop? I want to say no. And the only reason why I want to say no is that I think Hagrid kept it from him because he didn't want any more backlash on Dumbledore. Hagrid is very protective, as we see, of the people that he loves. And as much as we want to say Dumbledore knows everything, well, he doesn't. And I think that this is something that Hagrid wouldn't have mentioned to anybody. And he's only doing this as a last ditch effort. And Dumbledore's not there. So we can't even tell him now. Thoughts and feelings and Megan's.
I agree. I don't think that Dumbledore, I don't think Dumbledore knew in this moment. And I think that on top of Hagrid wanting to protect Dumbledore, I also think Hagrid was probably scared of a repeat of the Norbert situation.
Taken away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because while I'm sure Dumbledore could have found a better situation for him, maybe with somebody who could actually take care of him, Hagrid wanted to be the one to do that. So, like, even though I don't think Dumbledore would have been like, no, he has to go back and get beat up by those, you know, giants. Like, I don't think Dumbledore would have done that. But I think that no matter what the situation Dumbledore would have come up with, Hagrid would have been unhappy. And I just want to speak to Hagrid's character in this moment, because as somebody who is adopted and doesn't know any of their siblings in any way, shape, or form, and I know that I have some, but I don't know any of them. I would not have done what he did if I met my blood sibling down the road. Heck no. I don't know who you are. You're not a part of my life. If you're going to cause harm or danger potentially to like me or my friends and family, sorry. And this is 1,000% my Slytherin coming out, and that's fine. But all I'm saying is it's 1,000% Hagrid's Gryffindor coming out here and wanting to take him in this situation. And because he doesn't even have, like, I at least have my adoptive mom and dad, and like I have people close to me that I, you know, that I truly care about. And if I were to, I don't know, go on a trip somewhere and run into somebody who was supposedly one of my siblings or half siblings and like they needed my help, I'd have to take a really long, hard think about if I even wanted to step into that situation. I probably would bounce. I'd be like, sorry, I don't know you. You may share blood with me, but I know nothing about you. So, like, I'm not putting myself on the line for you. And so I just think it speaks volumes to Hagrid's character that he does do this, because it's definitely not something I would have done in his situation.
I want to hear from everybody else. That's interesting.
Well, but we also have to remember he brought him with him. So it's not like this, that like Grop wanted him to come. So it was not like if your half sibling or whomever wanted to come with you and you said no, it was that you were dragging them kind of thing.
So even more so, heck no, I would not have done that. like think hard of it, stop. Like,
I think if you have to give it a fair comparison, it would be like someone that you like care about right now that's part of your family that might obviously not be blood, but like if I didn't want to go with you and you were like, yeah, but it's for the better, and I'm like kicking and screaming, like, would you still drag me?
Yes, if I knew you were going to potentially be physically harmed, if not murdered. Yeah, I'm pulling your hair and you're going.
Like, for me, like, that's,
but that's, I, like, but
genuinely,
that's the,
for someone you don't even know,
us,
like, you really would, like, do that for someone you don't know?
For someone I don't know, yes. If I saw someone being hurt in the street and I didn't know them, yeah, I would jump in. I have done that. Like, I've literally done that.
I don't, and I've that's, never
but,
been in
and,
that situation.
And it's okay to be different, but that's just my personality.
Yeah. I've never been put in that situation, but I don't know if I'd be able to, like, if I saw someone, like, getting hurt, like, in the street or, like, yelling,
but that's why
I don't think I would be able to not stop is what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, not do something, because then I would, it would make me like, for what, like, I would probably make me sick, and I would not stop thinking about it, being like, I should have done something. I should have done something.
And that's why.
But I don't know.
But here's the thing. You know? And this is what I like, is that it makes me think about when somebody says, I could never do what you do. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there are people that can.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. People say this to me all the time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. People say that to me all the time. I teach first grade. Yeah. They're boogery and gross, but I love them. And so, like, I could say with you, I could never do what you do. Yeah. But it's good to have these differences.
And there's nothing wrong with, like,
no,
I think
not
it's
at
like
all.
The biggest thing is, like, when we talk about, like, at the end of the books with people going to, like, They're going into a war. They might not everyone at this point in this book realizes it, but that's what's going to happen. We all know this because we've read the books. And there are some people that don't want to fight. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. Really, I could sit here and be like, oh, I would totally go. I would fight because, like, that's what you should do. But I don't know if I'm put in that situation and they're like, you can either go and, like, risk your life and go and fight, or you can go over here. I don't know. You
but
know what I mean?
That's the thing, too. That's that. Exactly. Yeah. Some people, like, if we take our armed forces, they give themselves for others. And then some other people have it thrust upon them in moments of need. And that's what's has happened to me. Obviously, I don't serve in the armed forces. I have so much respect for them. But that isn't me. So that's another case where I'm like, I'm so glad there are people out there that do those things for us. And then there are people that don't. And it's honestly what makes our world work.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Who knew we could get so deep with this episode of Grop?
Yeah, I mean, I've said before, like, if I was in the situation in Deathly Hallows and it was like, all right, you can either stay or leave.
Mm-hmm. I would go.
I would probably go.
And that's fine.
But again, I just don't know. I'm purely thinking it's hard because, like, you don't really know what your reaction is going to be until you're, like, thrust into that situation. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, but if I, like, literally, if I'm putting myself in Hagrid's shoes, I am, you know, on a mission for Dumbledore and I have to go and do this dangerous thing. And I already, like, narrowly escaped death. Right. And then I discover somebody there is, like, related to me, but they don't want to come. No way. I'd be like, all right, bye.
All right. Catherine.
Oh, guys.
I can see both sides.
No. I'm honestly trying to think of what
Kate's like, do you want to come? No. Bye.
I think I would have laughed. I don't know. I'm
trying to think. Something that is sticking with me, and I don't know if it's really related, but it's, like, coming to the front of my mind, is, so, like, I even think of, like, say you see a car accident on the side of the road, right? Mm. Do you stop? Do you keep going? And something I heard, I don't know where, but I get reminded of it all the time, is, like, there's that mentality in human beings of being like, well, someone else will call. But if everyone's saying someone else will call, nobody calls, and then there's no help. So, like, I try to keep that in my brain. Yes, the bystander effect. Thank you, Kara.
You're, like, moving your hand and it's causing shadows. He's over here, like, attacking all of the shadows on the ground as you move your hand. I'm sorry.
He's comic relief on a very deep subject. So I try to keep that in mind. But, like, I honestly don't. I think I would freeze in a lot of these situations. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be the person that helps. So I think I struggle with that mentality when my mind goes down these anxiety roads of, like, what if? I really don't know.
I mean, I think I too would freeze and be like, almost forget everything. Cause there's times when I've been at work and, like,
something happens.
Yeah.
Right.
And I almost, like, there's almost nothing I can do because there's so many people already in the room. So then I'm like, I'll just stand here. You tell me what you need. Mm-hmm. And really I'm not doing anything. Cause I'm almost like nothing I can do. But I think with Hagrid, like, he's just got, like, the biggest heart. So, like, the second he sees Harry, he's like, that's my family too. You know what I mean? And, like, he sees Grop and he finds out, like, that's his brother. And he immediately is like, that's my family. So,
yeah. Well, I can actually speak from experience with what Katie was talking about, which is why I kind of know-ish how I would react is, like, I have seen two accidents happen and have stopped for both. One was when I was in high school and this old man and his wife were driving and their gas pedal stuck and they literally hit, like, a telephone pole. And so we pulled over and, you know, grabbed towels that we had in the back of our car. And I literally, like, held and tried to stop some bleeding. I'm not going to go into details. That was a bad one. I crashed hard from that.
Shock. It's adrenaline.
And then Marty and I were on our way home from Gettysburg a few years ago, and we were going over this hill, and there was
were going up a hill, and there was, you know, the sun was setting and we were in Amish country, and the car in front of us, I looked at it and I was like, there's not slowing down, and there's a horse and buggy. And so the sun stopped and this car kept going, and there was an accident, and we pulled over and stopped, and, you know, we helped the couple, and luckily that they ended up being okay. But like, I'm never going to not stop.
See, now I feel like those types of situations are like different.
We
than
are
what
talking
I was
about
talking
a lot of different yeah. situations.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. like those situations don't put me in danger. You know what I'm
saying?
That's interesting, so like,
yeah.
so like those types well, of situations, I probably would stop. But like with
stopping
Grop,
on the side of a road,
like,
though, during an accident is a very dangerous thing to do.
Well, yeah, but
I've never seen
not
it
in
happen,
the sense
so.
Of like I'm bringing home a half giant that is trying to murder me like the entire time that
happen.
We're coming home as if this is a real situation. But like, do you know what I'm
or
saying?
Or fighting in a war.
Or like fighting in a war. Yeah, yeah for sure. Like yeah. that literally puts you in the line of fire. Like right. you could die. Whereas like. Yeah, of course, stopping on the side of the road for an accident is not, you know, risk-free, but also it's not the same as I'm not trying to like say what you did was not as grand as what I'm talking about. I'm just saying like, yes, I agree. In those situations, I probably would also stop.
All right.
Katie's not even Katie's just playing with Iggy over here.
I am listening.
Not even in on the conversation.
Well, I can at least speak to like this past year of working in a hospital with COVID going around, that like all the time people are like, oh my God, how do you do it? Like, thank you so much. And I'm like, it literally just
1 hour
Dude,
at a time,
I'm just
man.
Going to my job. Like, yeah. It almost like was making, like, not making me mad, but I'm like, I'm not a hero. Like, I'm literally just getting dressed and going to work and coming home. And I don't know if that's how soldiers feel or anything, but that's just like, it's
You're
my
different
job.
Type.
I'm here to do,
different
I'm here
type
to take
of
care
soldier.
Of people. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And there, thank you Whew. For it. Mm. All right.
That was a
How many
one.
Minutes later? Hmm. I don't even know where I'm at. Let's see. We were talking about Hermione, and then we were talking about accidents. Oh,
oh,
man.
You were at like
I know, oh,
Hagrid.
I got it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So Hagrid thinks that the term violent, you know, describing Grop is a bit much, and he is only taken a couple of swings at Hagrid when he was in a bad mood, but his behavior is getting better and better. And Harry's like, what are those ropes for then?
Hagrid.
I didn't realize they were as thick as saplings.
So yeah. So he just noticed the ropes wow. that were thick as saplings stretching from around the trunks of the largest nearby trees towards the place where Grop lay curled on the ground with his back to them. You have to keep him tied up, said Hermione faintly. Well, yeah, said Hagrid, looking anxious. See, it's like I say, he doesn't really know his own strength. Mm-hmm. And so Harry had now made the connection that's why there's no other signs of living creatures in this area of the forest. So what's the plan? Hagrid wants them to look after Grop while he's gone, because he knows that his time is limited because of Umbridge. And what does taking care of Groppy look like? Keeping him company and teaching him. Sounds fun.
Teaching him right? English.
English. Quote, Harry said nothing but turned to look back at the gigantic form laying asleep on the ground in front of them. Grop had his back to them. Unlike Hagrid, who had simply looked like a very oversized human, Grop looked strangely misshapen. What Harry had taken to be vast mossy boulder to the left of the great earthen mound, he now recognized as Grop's head. It was much larger in proportion to the body than a human head, almost perfectly round and covered with tightly curling, close-growing hair the color of bracken. I didn't look that up. Somebody else looked that up. I don't know what that means.
I think dark.
The color of dark.
The color of night.
The rim of a single large fleshy ear was visible on top of the head, which seemed to sit rather like Uncle Vernon's. Vernon's directly upon... Oh, I did that twice. Directly upon the shoulders with little or no neck in between.
I was totally wrong.
Oh, it's green.
Yeah.
Bracken is like ferns.
He has green hair. They did that in the movie, didn't they?
Let's not talk about like ferns. Movie Grop.
Grop looks great. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's so good. It's a masterpiece.
The back under what looked like a dirty brownish smock comprised of animal skin sewn together, roughly sewn together, was very broad. As Grop slept, it seemed to strain a little as the rough seams of the skin. The legs were curled up under the body. I don't know why he doesn't say his legs.
The legs.
It's weird. He's like the legs. Like it's.
It's almost like weird. He's dehumanizing Grop a little bit.
Yeah. I really like that. It makes me sad. Harry could see the soles. Oh, I guess I didn't read that. The legs were curled up under the body. Harry could see the soles of the enormous, filthy bare feet, largest sledges, resting one on top of the other on the earthy forest floor.
Sledge is a sled, in case you're wondering. I didn't know, like, those old-timey sleds.
Like as big as, like, Santa's sleigh? Like a big sleigh? Sled? Sleigh?
Sledge. Sledge.
Like, imagine the thing that people stand on whenever huskies are pulling them in Alaska.
Oh, okay. All right. That helped me get the picture in my brain. Thanks.
We're awesome.
All right, so we're talking Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like one of Marty's favorite movies. Ferenz's warning was loud and clear in his mind. Quote, his attempt is not working. He would do better to abandon it. Hagrid is desperate for Grop to be able to communicate because then he might have a real chance at being able to stay at Hogwarts. And they tell Hagrid that they'll, quote, try. And Hagrid is crying and beaming at them. He is so happy about this. He tells them about once a week should be enough. And
or,
now,
you know what he says?
Oh.
Do or do not. There is no try.
That's for another podcast. It's time for introductions, everybody. Hermione jumps up and is like, hard no. But Hagrid's like, but yeah. And, you know, he's already on his way to waking him up. So how does he do it, everybody? This is going to make you very happy. A pleasant way to wake up in the morning. He pokes him real hard in the middle of the back with a tree limb.
Nope.
Yep.
Don't you do that to me. I'd be grumpy and ripping up trees, too.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? So in Harry's mind, he says the giant roared, doesn't call him Grop, which I thought was kind of weird. The giant roared and it echoed around the silent forest. So Grop rises from the ground. And I liked this description. It says the ground shuddered as he placed his enormous hands upon it to push himself onto his knees. It just kind of like gives you a sense of how like bulky he is, you know. Hagrid is like so cheery at this moment, and this just reminds me a lot of whenever he had Norbert. He was so excited to be like warming that egg in his hut. Yeah,
and like yelling at Ron when Norbert bit Ron, like, right, he like did
it
something
was Ron's fault.
yeah
this, it's just like very much like, you know, when you know when Hagrid is in his happy place, right? All right. So Harry and Hermione, or Hagrid's being cheery, just ignoring all the signs of terror around him and smiling because Harry and Hermione have moved back as far as they could while still being able to keep Grop in their line of vision. And they look up at his huge face that resembles a gray full moon swimming in the gloom of the clearing. And I love this description of his face that the author goes into. And it kind of reminds me of the rock giants in Frozen 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I just, like, picture how Grop even moves. So it says the nose, and again he's saying it as if Grop, he's saying the nose, the small eyes, the mouth, not like Grop's nose. So yeah, I do kind of feel like Harry in his mind here doesn't necessarily view Grop as anything more than a creature and not
like, even like being status human. I guess, yeah, just like
beast.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah,
yeah. The nose was stubby and shapeless, the mouth lopsided and full of misshapen yellow teeth the size of half bricks. Did he get those half from the bricks. Yellow brick road?
Oh my god,
follow it,
Megan.
The small eyes were a muddy greenish brown and just now were half gummed together with sleep.
Ew, oh. Gummed.
That's gross.
Wipe them eyes.
Ew.
He can't, his hands what? Are tied.
I don't wipe like this eyes. Description.
Somebody give him a towel.
I like you say it like you've not read this book. Ooh, more than once.
You got the boo-boo.
So at this moment, because Grop is like standing up, Hermione is, like we said before, terrified. And I say rightfully so, because as we know from earlier and other mentions of in this book, giants are not known to be kind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about. Well, I pulled from the Wikia just like a little thing to just go over, just do a little reminder here. So giants are very large humanoid magical beings which can potentially grow
humanoid.
Yeah, to approximately 25 feet tall and appear to be a large human. Now, as we know, Grop is about 16 feet, so he's pretty small for a giant, but still, that's... How many, like, Michael Phelpses is that? I want to know that.
We need a what? Michael Phelps butt.
Because he's pretty tall, isn't he? He's, like, really tall, and he's got, like, really, really long arms and stuff. He's kind of, like...
I have a big head giant. And little arms.
Michael Phelps is only 6'4".
Is he?
Yeah.
That's like one inch taller than that, Marty.
That's definitely tall.
That's tall.
I know, it's tall.
It's not as tall as I was thinking.
So like, I believe his arm span is longer than his height.
What?
Maybe that's... How many... Okay, so genuinely, how many Michael Phelps arm reason. Spans tall Michael is Grop?
Michael Phelps arm span.
Is he humanoid?
That's wonderful. 6'7" is his arm span.
See, that's crazy.
What did okay. I tell ya?
That's bananas, man.
He's a dolphin.
Arm span is supposed like to be the same as your height, and they say that's part of the reason why he's such a good swimmer.
I think mine's
as
shorter.
His arms, it shouldn't be.
Somebody measure me. why are his longer? Why can't I be a humanoid?
But they said his hands... I remember watching this on the news years ago. They were saying his arms were like you're paddles, human. And they helped get him to swim faster.
What? Don't laugh at me.
All right. So moving on here. Behavior and traits of giants. They're not as intelligent as wizards and witches, but definitely more so than trolls, given that they seem to be able to comprehend magic and are actually fond of its use. They do have their own language, culture, and societal structure, and they're capable of learning English and presumably other languages as well, and they can read. However, though, they do not have the patience for long discussions and seem to prefer simplifying matters by killing their audience if the topic they brought proved too complicated. Hence why Hermione is scared. She's so scared.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I mean, you don't know anything about Grop. Like, this is the first they're meeting him. And Hagrid's idea of, you know, he's not scary is not the same as Hermione and Harry and Ron's idea of this isn't scary.
And right in front of their face, you can see how not very successful Hagrid's been so far.
Yeah, how destructive Grop has been just in that area of the forest and all of the cuts and bruises and everything that Hagrid has had. And you know how tough Hagrid is. So anyway, Grop's wrists and ankles were attached to ropes and the trees creaked ominously that held him. And I liked this descriptor as well. His hands were the size of a beach umbrella. So at that point, he grabs a bird nest and turns it out and all the eggs that were in it fall out. And I thought that was really sad. That made me really sad.
R.I.P. birds.
Right? But apparently Grop looked disappointed that there were no birds in the nest. Just
does
eggs.
He know he can eat the eggs?
Does he not know that, yeah, eggs are delicious?
Yeah. He should have eaten them.
Protein,
unless
bro.
They're, like, not so delicious if they're
like, I love how we're like sad they dropped, but like, oh, you could have eaten that, would have made the same results. Oh, okay. Can I offer you an egg in this trying time?
So at this point, Hagrid tries to introduce Grop to Harry and Hermione, but Grop just roars again and then attempts to basically pull out a pine tree by like bending it down to the ground to let it snap back up. And Hagrid scolds him for it. So I was like, yeah, giants don't do well with small enclosed places. So while technically the forest isn't small or enclosed, Grop is tied down to this small enclosed area of said forest and he's bored. You can just tell from this like 3 seconds, Grop is just bored.
He's yes. bored. If he could just go out for an hour or two.
Oh my God.
My question is, because Hagrid's like, you don't need to worry about feeding him, but like, how does he get food if there's nothing, or if they won't go by him?
He's waiting for those birds.
At this point.
Interesting.
Hopefully he doesn't catch those thestrals.
I feel like a bird for him is like a crumb of a cracker.
Right. A cracker.
It says that he catches. It says he catches deer sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A doe?
I think Hagrid says he catches deer.
A deer.
A female deer?
Are there normal deer in the Forbidden Forest?
I guess.
There'd be stags.
Yeah. So, yeah. A deer. Anyway.
A female deer.
Hagrid scolds him again, and like Norbert, it's not really effective. Grop just doesn't care that he's getting scolded. He's just like, yeah, okay, whatever, I'm just gonna snap this pine tree now.
Grop gonna grop.
So Harry saw Hagrid at that point lying on his back with his hand over his nose, so Grop must have like knocked him back somehow. And Hagrid then just kind of gives up on the introductions because he's lost interest. I totally forgot. He tries to grab Hermione at one point because Hagrid tries to introduce him to Hermione then. But then Harry notices what's about to happen and literally like pushes her out of the way just in time. Which, good thinking, Harry. So
I really like that moment.
Yeah, I do too. It's a good Harry Hermione moment as friends.
Yeah, good moment. But you and I both think a good friendly moment.
I would like to say I would push you down if a giant tried to get
she would
you
shove me in the giant's way just to get herself out of there.
Put me down. No.
So Hagrid gives up because Grop has clearly lost interest in this whole introductions thing, which I don't think he ever held any interest in it to begin with. So it was pretty easy for him to lose interest in it. And then they start to head back out of the forest.
Sorry, I was fighting a little yawn.
Gosh, are we boring you?
No, not at all.
Iggy's not over here for her to play shadows with.
You know what?
The
excuse
kid.
Me. I just want to say, attention.
Katie texted me and was like, I really was paying attention. I'm sorry. And I'm like, I was joking with you, you weirdo.
Y'all just want to make like, the puff like feel you bad.
You're yeah. so cute.
Meg will
you
like
make me sick.
Meg will do this thing and like, it's funny. Like, so I don't want anyone to think that this is like cruel in any way, shape, or form. But like, she knows.
She's giving a disclaimer for something that I do.
I know. Sure.
I'm like, God. What are you about to drop here?
She Megan's knows. So nice. She's not cruel at all. Let
She's
me
not.
Tell you a story.
She knows that I feel like extra guilty about dumb stuff. Like, I just have a super guilty conscience, so like she'll purposefully say things to knowing that I'm feeling guilty, but then I try to not feel guilty and I'm like, stop it, you know how I'm feeling about this, and then she'll just keep being sarcastic,
but then I just laugh, and then, yeah. then it makes her laugh it's in the funny. end, and that's the point of it. I was it's like funny. No, get out of your head, you need to just laugh about this.
It works, but I'm like,
Katie,
stop it.
It
or she'll
it
be
really
like, you know,
my
her
feelings
OCD
when you play shadows with your cat.
Right. Her OCD will come out. She'll be like, are you sure that like this food is okay for me to eat? And I'll be like, you're gonna die if you eat it.
She will. Or I'll be like, because of COVID, I'm like, do I have to worry about like this and this being dirty? She's like, no, you might as well just take it off and burn it.
God, Megan. I love it.
It works. That's funny.
I'm like, stop it.
And as soon as and she then you stops realize the question, that you're like
in
like,
your head. Yeah. And you're silly.
As soon as she stops asking the question and like knows what answer is coming at her, she's like, ugh. Just answer me for real. And I'm like, seriously, just burn your skin off.
Yeah, you're done for already. Told me that before, so you might as well just burn your skin then.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too.
Snaky anyway. Snakeness.
Yep. The snake to my puff for sure.
It works.
All right, so unlike us, no one spoke for a while. They did hear a distant crash. And Harry assumes Grop must have finally pulled up that pine tree. So I don't know what he's going to do with it, but yeah, good job, Grop. So Hermione is, so they're all quiet. Hermione's looking like super pale. Her face is set. Harry honestly can't think of anything to say, but that kind of is Harry on the everyday basis. So this is kind of like Harry's monologue in his head from the book. What on earth was going to happen when somebody found out that Hagrid had hidden Grop in the forest? And he had promised that he, Ron, and Hermione would continue Hagrid's totally pointless attempt to civilize the giant. How could Hagrid, even with his immense capacity to delude himself that fanged monsters were lovably harmless, fool himself that Grop would ever be fit to mix with humans?
Because he's thinking with his heart and not his head.
Yep.
Yes. Accurate. Which is what I often do. Yeah. Which is why I was like, yeah, I'd bring Grop back.
Which Harry often does too. I think
it's a very Gryffindor thing.
Yeah. I think
we
it's
do
just,
what we feel is right. It's a Hermione thing too, and that's why she's in Gryffindor. She does what she feels is right in her heart. And even though she does use her head a lot of the times, I mean, it's one of those things you just go with sometimes.
I think it's
doesn't
a super
work out great.
Yeah, I think it's a super Gryffindor thing to do to like do what they're doing, you know, think with your heart and not with your head, but then also not necessarily be able to see sometimes when other people are doing exactly what you would have done. You know what I mean? Like, had you been put into that situation, been like, gosh, why did they decide to do that? And it's like they were thinking with their heart, not your head, something that you do a lot, Harry.
Right.
I feel attacked, actually.
I love you.
No, I know.
Meg likes to attack in the best ways. Like, it's love attacks, you know? It's like when you get a love bite from a cat.
Yeah.
Silence. Okay.
I was thinking of a little snake that would, like, go in to, like, strike, and then they, like, stick their little tongue out, and they're like, I told you. I told you.
I have to say, I agree with Liv in the chat. She said that's why Hermione's so BA, because she pulls from both head and heart so frequently. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why I tend to like her. She has both.
Like her.
She does she have cool. a heart and a head. You are right.
She does.
So Hagrid suddenly stops them. He pulls an arrow out of his quiver. There's movement close by. So out pops a centaur named Magorian, which I tried to look up, but I couldn't really like find anything special about. But he came out also armed, and he said, I thought that we told you, Hagrid, that you are no longer welcome here. This is Hagrid, gamekeeper at Hogwarts, who like roams the forest and like knows all these beasts. He's super kind to any living creature, and they're like, nah bro, get out. Four or five more centaurs come out, including Bane, who is, that's a shout out all the way back to book one. I don't think we've seen him since
is Bane
book
the one
right?
who like scolds Ferenc for helping Harry.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. So he's been on the like hardline centaur law since we've known him. And he kind of acts like
law.
He acts like he's never seen Harry before. So Magorian goes on to say, I hope I'm saying that right. You know, like, All right, we all agreed what we would do if, quote, this human showed his face in the forest again. And Hagrid's like, oh, like, that's what I am. I'm just like this human now. Like, just because I stopped you all from committing murder. And Magorian's like, well, you shouldn't have gotten involved. Like, we have ways and laws that are different than yours, and they stand. And he says that Ferenz betrayed and dishonored them. And Hagrid doesn't understand that, nor do I, because all Ferenz was doing is helping Dumbledore. But one of the centaurs, this is literally how they view it. He said, Ferenz has entered into servitude to the humans. And Hagrid's like, what are you talking about? Ferenz is just doing Dumbledore a favor. But we come to find out they see it as, well, he's giving humans, who they do see as below them, he's giving humans our knowledge and our secrets. And like, you can't come back from that kind of a disgrace. So Hagrid's like, all right, if you say so, I think you're making a mistake. And Bane's like, yeah, you're making a mistake too, coming back into our forest. And Hagrid's like, what do you mean our forest? I don't want to hear that anymore. It's not up to you who comes, who goes. And Magorian says that it's not anymore up to Hagrid either. And that they'll let them go today because he actually mistakes Harry and Hermione as Hagrid's offspring. And Bane like is like, nah, those are just students. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter.
Nah, those are just students.
And McGorian's like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, to slaughter a foal. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a terrible crime. Like, we don't touch the innocent. But he does remind Hagrid, like, you better stay away from here. You forfeited your friendship with the centaurs when you helped Ferenz, who we consider a traitor. And Hagrid, who, this is not probably, I don't know how they didn't just attack him. He said, I won't be kept out of the forest by a bunch of mules like you. Yes, Tiffany.
Them's fighting words first.
Yeah.
For real though, but yeah. I just think it's interesting that centaurs call, you know, their children foals, since that's the word used for a baby horse. I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Just in case,
what
you
they
didn't
call
know.
Them though?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but it like doesn't recognize the other half.
I mean, it's what.
Just call them a wee babe.
People half horse. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
You know what makes me think of? Do you guys ever see the pictures that circle like the internet every once in a while? And it's like thinking of baby centaurs that are like half whatever. Like the baby's just flopping around.
Because I can't hold his head up.
Oh my God.
Baby.
That is super contradicting because, like, horses can stand almost, like, immediately after birth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so Hagrid calls them...
Same with goats. They, like, jump around, like, 2 days after. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Hagrid calls them a bunch of mules, and Hermione's like, okay, let's go. Let's get out of here. And Magorian's like... He says they know what Hagrid's keeping in the forest and that their tolerance is waning. And Hagrid's like ready to fight this guy. He's like, you'll tolerate Grop as long as he's here. It just must his forest as it is yours. And Harry and Hermione are like trying to push Hagrid and he literally doesn't feel it. Like he looks down and is like surprised that both of them are trying to shove him because they didn't really move him at all. But they finally walk away. Hagrid's like, oh, calm down, you two. Like, the centaurs are just ruddy old nags. So it's almost it's like dangerous how much Hagrid is really at home with the forest because there really are like the centaurs really do have like a large community in there. Like that really is their turf. And he's just like, oh, like it was going to be fine. Like nothing was going to happen.
But is it their turf?
To them it is.
No, I mean,
but, like it's not.
But they would defend it as if it were.
I mean, sure, but that doesn't mean they're right.
I agree, but if Hagrid was alone, like, there would have been a fight.
Him. Do you see how long it takes Umbridge to get Hagrid? She doesn't get Hagrid.
Just
she tries.
It just
I don't want
it's
no
just
fights.
Interesting to me. Hagrid's
fight.
What he views as dangerous, pretty much just Voldemort.
Yeah,
and Death Eaters. That's honestly like. Everything else is like so low on his list.
Well, I think it's like he's gonna fight for what's important to him, and
I think he's just really strong and he knows it.
But I also think he thinks that, like, in his mind is like, if he dies along the way, then at least he's doing it for, like, he was fighting for, like, the good side. You know what I mean?
The greater good. Would you
for
say?
His right to party.
Sure. Yeah.
You got it.
Exactly.
You got it. All right. So Hermione tries to get out of the deal. She's like, oh, if the centaurs don't want humans in the forest, Hagrid, like, how are we possibly going to care for Grop? And he's like, nah, they said they don't hurt kids, so we're good. And Harry's like, nice try.
Oh gosh. So it's my turn now. So let's talk. Let's talk about all the books.
All at once.
All at once. You know what? Harry does some magic and in the end he wins.
He loses, but then he also wins.
Yeah. So great. Like he loses a lot and then he gains some stuff, but then he loses some stuff again and then he wins.
You're gonna die, but you're gonna be happy about it.
So they're leaving the woods. Hagrid has parted the trees. I like how like I visualized this in my head that he was like parting the trees,
like literally.
Yeah, like in my head, like I'm thinking like he parted them
and then they like
hear all of the cheering. They see like the stands and Hagrid's like, oh, I wonder if that's another goal that was scored or if the match is over. So they kind of like, you know, are looking. Harry realizes that like both Hermione and he's assuming himself look a little worse for wear after their adventures in the forest. Hagrid points out that people are leaving the stand, so that must mean the game is over. And so he kind of tells Harry and Hermione to go over and kind of blended with the crowd so it doesn't seem suspicious that they're not with them. So obviously Hermione is not pleased with what has just happened, and she really can't believe what Hagrid has done. And Harry says like the wrong thing to Hermione, which I'm sure if anyone's ever said this to you, don't ever say this to someone.
Calm down.
He tells her to calm down.
No.
Calm down, a giant in the forest, and we're supposed to give him English lessons? Always assuming, of course, we can get past the herd of murder centaurs on the way in and out. I don't believe him.
You read that very nicely. Gore.
So Harry points out that they don't have to do anything unless Hagrid gets thrown out, and that might not happen. And Hermione's like, dude, of course it's going to happen. Like, and she says that for what she can see, she doesn't blame Umbridge. She goes on to say, this is a quote from the book.
Hey.
There was a pause in which Harry glared at her and her eyes filled slowly with tears. You don't mean that, said Harry quietly. No, she didn't. But she wonders why he's kind of making his life harder on himself, him being Hagrid. So Harry goes to respond that there are people singing. They can hear that Weasley is the king's song again. And Hermione just kind of wishes that they would stop singing. And like, she's thinking it's the Slytherin singing and gloating about it. And she, obviously she's upset because she doesn't want Ron to be upset because like they're friends. And she also knows it's going to be her husband. She probably doesn't know that, but I do. They go to move because, you know, obviously they stopped. People are walking around them and they are thinking they're going to see like a group of Slytherins singing this song. But Harry like notices that it's not a sea of green and silver. Oh, nay, nay. It is actually a sea of red and gold singing the song. So there's a mass of group of people that have someone on their shoulders and they're singing. Tiffany, do you want to do the honors? Because you're the Gryffindor.
Oh. I was going to ask you to do it.
I don't want to sing it. What's the tune?
I'm trying to think of how.
I always pictured it like.
Weasley is our king.
Like more of a chant.
He didn't let the quaffle in. Weasley is our king.
I like that.
I can't remember what Jim Dale does. I have to find it.
It ain't what Tiffany O'Malley did.
Weasley is our king. Weasley is our king. So Hermione says no quietly because she does not believe what she is seeing. Harry says yes loudly because he is excited. So then Ron sees them and exclaims, they won! Woo-hoo-hoo! Another little quote from the book. They beamed up at him as he passed. There was a scrum at the door of the castle and Ron's head got rather badly bumped on the lintel. I don't know. But nobody seemed to want to put him down. And so I said, a scrum is kind of like a huddle. So is a hum kind of like a scruddle? Also, I Googled.
I just took a sip of water.
I can't take credit for that.
You want to know what a lintel is?
I Googled scrum, and a scrum is short for scrummage, which is a method. This is according to Google. And a scrum is with rugby. It's a method of restarting a play in rugby football that involves players packing closely together with their heads down and attempting to gain possession of the ball.
Do you want to know what a lintel is?
Please tell me.
It is a noun. A horizontal support of timber, stone, concrete, or steel across the top of a door or window.
I kept hearing lintel.
Not beans.
Is that in the Bible when Moses is getting his people out of Egypt and they have to paint?
Move a lintel this way? That was funny. That is rich.
No, but I'm thinking, like, you know how the night that, like, the spirit comes through and, like, if you don't
paint
on the
door. I thought they just put it on the door.
I don't know why it makes you. I feel like maybe it's in the Prince of Egypt that they talk about.
A lintel?
I don't know.
A lintel a little?
Okay. So, anyways, Harry and Hermione are kind of stood there and they watch as the rest of the Gryffindors go inside. They're still singing because obviously they've won. They're excited. They turn to each other and Harry says that they'll wait to tell Ron their news. Hermione also isn't in a hurry to tell him, so it's fine with her. So they like walk up. I'm guessing there's stairs. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't remember. But they get to the doors of Hogwarts and they turn around. They both look back towards the forest and Harry could have sworn that he saw like a group of birds fly into the sky. Like they had just been resting in a tree that had its roots.
roots
ripped up. And that's the end of the chapter, man.
Okay. So as far as Quidditch goes, I just want to say one thing. Suck it.
Are you trying to say that with football too?
Huh?
Well, it just makes me think of like we have a big football game coming up this weekend and we won the last game. I mean,
yeah.
We made some history.
Quidditch Cup winners are Gryffindors.
Are the Gryffindors.
Ask some questions.
Give me some questions, Meg.
All right. Let's see.
What? What? You lie.
What?
My laptop says it's going to die, but it's plugged in. It's not plugged in.
Who's the liar now?
Me. All right. Paisha asks...
Sure.
I don't know what house Paisha was in at this point in the recording whenever she's been changing houses all night, but Paisha asks, what is Grop's real name? Wrong answers only.
Wait, his wrong answers only? I say to go with the G. They all have to start with G.
Gloop.
Augustus Gloop. Augustus Gloop.
Jeffrey with a G.
Oh, nice.
George. Jeff.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Gorgamorn, because that's a giant name.
Typical giant name.
This sounds like a typical giant name.
I like Gary, I won't lie.
You like Gary?
No, yeah. Big Gary is a Dementor, so we got to pick.
Old Greg.
I'm old Greg.
What about Garrett?
Garrett?
Yeah.
I just think about Garrett from the Bucket List family.
Garrett Gee.
Yeah. He's really hot.
Gunther, huh?
Gargamel.
Gargamel.
All right. Next question comes from Meredith. How many simultaneous stunning spells do you think it would take to have an effect on Grop?
Zero. He's invincible.
I don't know if they could.
He's invincible.
I think stunning spells are too weak.
Yeah.
I would agree.
So infinity plus two?
I mean, I would think... Like realistically, I bet it would have to be like 50 people or more, like doing it at the same time, you know?
One massive spell.
That's my opinion.
Because, yeah, it has to be like an unforeseeable amount.
Yeah, because like in the next chapter, like, I mean, I guess they're only hitting Hagrid one at a time necessarily, but like on a half giant, it's no effect.
Yeah. I mean, like dragons, so it's no effect either, you know?
Right.
Someone in the chat
is too thick.
Who said it? Oh, Kat said, yeah, hit the eyes.
Ooh. Let's see. Vinny O'Malley 2.0.
2.0. says, I love it.
Could Ron be a professional Quidditch player, considering Ginny was one and Charlie could have been?
I think he has potential, but I don't honestly, I think he's more of a fan. I don't think his heart is in it. And I don't, he only is really great when he has great confidence, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't think it's in the realm of possibilities, because I just don't think that's for him.
I agree.
I think he's like a great casual player. Like he would be great when you're playing like a family round of Quidditch.
It's not like when it's not super serious. Cause like Harry even said, like when they practiced together, he was like, he was great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really, it didn't mean anything. And I think, it was more for him. It's like he's more passionate about it when like he was probably like that ridiculous fan when his sister was playing. You know what I mean? Mm, he's probably like in the stands being like woo. Where like if he was playing, being... wouldn't get to have that experience.
I think he's one of those people that, and I can totally agree with this, where you love it so much, but you don't want it to be your job, because then it loses. You sometimes can lose your love for it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about cooking. I almost went to culinary school, and then I was like, I probably would end up hating it, but I love to cook.
Yeah, maybe he could be a ref.
You never know. A ref?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would be a good ref.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask us to do this because it's a lot, but I want to give a shout out to Sam for her question and pose a challenge to anybody potentially for the next episode. She said, create a Weasley as our king song for Swish and Flick. Who wants to write it? That would be so fun. Somebody do it for us.
Weasley
and
is
send
our king?
It.
What do you mean, like us in Swish?
Like, Swish is our... like a song like that for Swish and Flick.
Swish is our podcast.
And then, okay, last question comes from Chrissy. Do we, can we speculate how Hagrid's parents met?
I don't want to.
By a stranger at a bar.
Maybe he was hiking.
You think he was hiking?
Maybe
he was
hiking. Outdoor patios, Tiffany.
I honestly, I can't. I just don't know. And I don't think I want to find out. Awkward silence.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know. I like the idea. Maybe he was hiking.
I think he decided to have a little picnic and he went hiking and then he stumbles upon this lovely giantess and he shared a sandwich and it was just, you know, love
shared
connection.
Shared a sandwich?
Yeah.
What a little crumb
shared
for her.
Shared a sandwich.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Gryffindor
look
wins the house
that.
Cup.
And the Quidditch Cup double second.
Wait.
I better see tomorrow when we're recording the next episode. A lot of blue.
Nah.
Do you guys smell that? It's deceit and deception.
Smell that in Florida?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Look at all them lions.
Oh, man. Well, hey. Gryffindor, you earned it today.
Did we?
Did we? Oh, boy.
I'll take it. I don't care.
A win's a win. All right, Kate, give me that fan story.
fan story. It's another oldie, which means it's a goodie.
But a goodie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. So
hey. This fan story comes from Emily Russell. Dear Tiffany, Megan, Katie, and Sarah, and Florence, if she's there. And
which
how
she was today.
Right?
She came today.
Total chance. My name,
such a great day.
My name is Emily Russell, and I am a devoted Swisher and have been for a few months. I am a Hufflepuff, but I also have very strong qualities of a Ravenclaw. I don't think so, but my Potter mad friends insist so. My wand is Rowan Wood with the unicorn hair, 14 and a half inches, and my Patronus is a Swift. Now on to my Potter story. I first read the books when I was 7 years old in my second grade of primary school. I instantly fell in love with JK's writing style, and all I could talk about was Harry Potter. I distinctly remember many times walking around the house with my nose stuck in my book and giving myself many stubbed toes and bruised shins. The books are just so addicting. When I was 7 years old, the books to me were just an amazing and entertaining tale that kept me amused for hours. I've always loved the books, but in the recent years, the Harry Potter series has become much more to me than an entertaining story. I have suffered from severe anxiety for a few years now, and sometimes having to put up with and face all the problems that the world would throw at me that day just didn't seem possible. I soon, of course, turned to one of the only things that could bring me so much joy, Harry Potter. I found that I was immersing myself in the Wizarding World so deeply, just as I had in second grade. I slowly found the strength and positivity in the books to transfer into the real Muggle world. Harry Potter not only helped me to find myself again, but also to be a bit of the light I so desperately wanted to find in those dark times. I am now part of a social group that cooperates with many agencies to help those in need, and I can say this great decision was made almost just because of Harry Potter. The series opens so many new opportunities to meet new people and do new things. This is just how I found you girls and your wonderful podcast. I was bored one day after a meeting with the group and had nothing to do, so I decided to find something Potter related to keep me busy. I found your podcast and was instantly hooked. Your wonderful personalities, insightful discussions, and the magical feeling of all the episodes combined make the perfect thing to listen to. Obviously, lots of other people agree with me, as so many amazing people are involved in this community that you have created. I feel so connected to so many Swishers, even right down here in Little Australia. This is such a wonderful awesome. Thing that you four ladies have created. The podcast is able to bring so many people together from all over the world. We appreciate all the hard work that you do for us Swishers, and please keep doing it to help spread the magic and love of Harry Potter. Because of what you've done, a lot of us will never let the Muggles get us down. Lots of love from Emily Russell, who is down here in sunny Australia.
That's awesome.
I just think it's so cool.
It's so cool.
That yeah. people from like all over the world listen to us.
It's amazing. And like,
it blows my mind.
We've gained so many friends and like, just, it's just, I don't have words.
I can't imagine how yeah. different my life would be if we hadn't done this.
Right.
I know.
Right. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what Emily, would I be doing? Who even knows?
You'd be here reading your books.
I wouldn't be here. I'd be at home with the finished book.
We would be holding each other
with a finished fine. Book.
But I just want to say, Emily, thank you so much for your story and for your really kind words. That means yes. a lot. It really does. And like people will sometimes like send us emails just to say like, thank you. And it's like every single time we get those, it's just, it's really, really nice.
It's the best.
And I love it. And I was just telling our Discord, cause like, there's this Discord channel is a different kind of animal. You know what I mean? Like the humor that we have as four friends, I feel like is very specific and like a little out there. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the Discord is also that way.
Yep.
And it just makes me really, really happy. It just makes me so happy.
I agree. And also, I think it's super cool that, like, because of your love of Potter, it, like, pushed you to a certain career. Like, that's really neat. You yeah. know?
Yeah.
I like it. Emily, you roll. Your story rolls. Swishers, you
yes.
all roll.
Yes.
Everybody Gosh. Rules.
True.
Everybody.
Everybody rules.
Sometimes. Katie, give me a joke.
All right.
Joke
book. We have our joke book back.
I know. I got it back.
Huzzah. Okay, really quick. Did you see, though, somebody in the Facebook group posted that they got a Hufflepuff joke book?
Yeah.
What?
I know. They have specific house ones. I need it.
We need all of them. I mean, we're going to...
This is the Gryffindor one. Great guffaws for Gryffindor.
Oh, Tiffany, man. You bought the Gryffindor one just out of, you know,
typical
habit.
Gryffindor. <Sheer dumb luck. laughs>
I thought that was just like, you know,
I just thought
line.
It was the only one.
I just thought that was just like a line.
I didn't know
it
was Gryffindor.
I mean, the Huzzah. Cover is blue, so they got the colors wrong, but that's okay.
I mean, ready for it's not the first time, Katie.
All right. How do Hawaiian wizards say hello?
Aloha
Mora. You got it,
I have a forest joke.
You have a what?
Oh,
a forest? The words that you just said, I have a forest joke.
If you chop a tree down in the middle of the forest, but the tree doesn't understand why you chopped it down, do you think it's stumped?
Oh my God.
You are interesting. That's a good one. No, but I love how they blurred out the profanity ones. Interesting. Are you 18?
No.
Can you click this profanic joke about trees?
Any more jokes? Nobody? Nobody?
I mean, I have a whole book of them, but...
Read another one.
Yeah, read one.
I'm just going to flip to a page, not prepare.
Rando.
Oh, I've heard this one before, but it makes me laugh. Okay. What do a potions pot and Harry's best friend have in common?
They're both called Ron.
Yep.
They're both called Ron.
I don't know what... Have you guys heard this one? What is Horace Gump's password? One forest, one.
Oh, gosh.
On that note, make sure you follow your hosts on social media. You can follow myself and Katie on Twitter and Instagram at The Petrus Family. You can follow Tiffany on Twitter and Instagram at TiffSwish_Flick. And you can follow Sarah on Instagram at O'Malley with 3 H's.
It's like when you try to eat a really hot tater tot.
Ooh, tater tots. Oh, let's talk about ourselves a little bit.
Tiff, what's
you know?
Up?
Let's talk about me.
So like I was telling everyone, I'm reading this new book called Eye of the World.
When did you start it?
I don't know, last year.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Say that like in seriousness, but like
it's been a moment.
It was 15 days ago.
However, I am on chapter 44 of 5 million, so I'll finish it in June.
You'll finish it before then.
No. I mean, we're almost done relatively early. I can go upstairs and read. And yeah. So, Sasa and I started our new podcast called The Padawan Transmissions, and that is exclusive to Spotify. And our first little intro episode is out. And basically, it is just about us learning our way through Star Wars because we really love it and we want to learn. Yeah, we like it. Okay.
I'm just trying to impress the internet.
What are you guys covering first?
Secrets.
Stars and the way they wore.
Yes.
Is it going to be a book?
I want to start off with the sun because that is the brightest star I see.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll go from there.
We also might cover planets like Mars. We're close to it. I want to learn more.
Are you going
to
talk about Pluto, though?
There's a rover.
Dwarf or no dwarf, we're talking about it.
We're going to talk about Pluto.
Yeah.
Not just the dog, but, you know, the former planet.
But also the dog.
But for sure the dog.
Yeah.
Pluto's a planet, all right? Anybody want to fight me on that? It's a planet.
I mean, NASA might.
Listen, I learned the planets through the Blue's Clues song, and Pluto was involved with that song, so it's a planet.
Wait, can you sing it?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
I don't remember it. But I will find a YouTube clip for you.
No, such lies.
On what? Oh my God!
I feel like you're lying to me.
I love when you're like, I learned it. but I don't remember.
But I don't remember.
I was like, did you really young. Learn?
Like I was a small like, child. It was yesterday.
I found it. I'm sending it to you guys.
So do you want to say where we're going to start?
Huh?
Do you want to tell them where we're going to start?
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so we are going to start with episode one. We were thinking about going Mandalorian, but we decided it would be better if we went in an order, at least with the movies to start, and then we will branch off from there. But it will be, it's a bi-weekly podcast, and it is on Instagram and Twitter. It is not going to have a Facebook, and I am so sorry. It is not going to have a Discord.
Watch us get a Facebook in like a year or something. And people are like, you said you weren't going to do it.
Well, as for right now. So, yeah. Basically, this is like our pet project. We want to have a whole lot of fun with it. And, yeah. That's what we're going to be working on. And I'm really excited because I get to learn more about the other fandom that I really, really like. Personally, teaching online, it's tough, but I'm trying to make it through. It is really nice spending time with my husband, Martinius Omelie, and with my daughter. So that's, I have to look at the bright side of all of that and all of this. So that's what I'm doing. Who's next?
Oh, hi, Iggy. Hi. I don't know. I'm still trying to like get into the groove of my schedule again since being up home for a while for the holidays. I've been feeling kind of like lazy. Like I need to get back into the swing of like going on walks and stuff more. We didn't even leave the apartment yesterday. So I really want to go somewhere tomorrow after we record. I don't know where, but I need to go walk around somewhere. So mm-hmm. I don't really have a whole lot going on. If you want to plan a trip for 2021, hit me up at FTJ by Megan Petrus on Instagram. That's all I got.
I forgot to talk about our workouts, Kate.
Oh, go for it.
That we haven't been doing together.
But we've still been doing.
Yeah. I'm loving this program. It is crazy fun and very difficult.
Yeah, I need to look into it. But I'm lifting right now. Two things. One, I discovered Mario Kart Online, and it's awesome. And two, brace yourself, my friends. Potatoes are coming back to Taco Bell.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
All right.
March 11th. I sent that to Marty right away.
March 11th. Also, go and look for their announcement because that CEO needs to be everyone's boss. Oh my God. That's all I'll say because it was so hilarious.
Fun. Yeah.
Sasa.
I've been reading.
She literally has been just reading.
So I finished Obama's book, A Promised Land. It was very good. I was grateful to have read it and I liked it, but I was very grateful to be done with it. And because nonfiction is scary, I mean, I say that jokingly. My next book, I've been reading The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. So I started that last night and I'll finish it tonight. And it was very good. And I really, really liked this book a lot so far. So I don't know what book I'm going to read next. I have a stack of them. Although I'm still reading The Shadow Rising, which I was reading that yesterday. No. What's today? I read that Tuesday at work. But that's literally, I got a new bed because I didn't like my old one. So
extra.
I know. I should have listened to my mom. I'm pretty sure I said it on the podcast. I told her I wanted to buy this bed, and because I didn't have an actual bed frame, I just had like it didn't have a headboard or a footboard, and I wanted one because at my old bed I had one, and I gave it to my brother when he moved, and then I got a new bed to me, but it was an old bed. Anyway, so I bought a bed last year, and my mom was like, you shouldn't buy it. You're not going to like it. In like 5 months, you're going to be like, nah, I don't like it anymore. And I was like, you're not. That's not true. Like, I like it. Whatever else. Well, come to find out, I don't. And it's just like my style. So I bought a new bed, and I'm going to put it up this weekend. So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. And I bought a little like side table I got off of Etsy. And the guy was so nice. He gave me his like personal like phone number. He's like, if you have any issues putting it together. And I was like, I'm sure I'll be fine. So I am going home to that. So Alana will help me put it together tomorrow. She was very excited about it. That's my life. I literally go nowhere. I just sit home and read books. Although I was told books are now banned in my house.
Nothing like a good old book banning.
I got a lot of book mail, and my mom was like, you need to stop. I was like, you're probably not wrong, but gosh, there's more books coming.
There are a lot worse things you could be spending money on than books, so there's always that, too.
Would it be four cups?
I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but in you know how, like, a human body's, like, roughly, they say, like, made of 70% water? I would say that my household is made up of 70% books, and I'm not exaggerating.
A lot of literature up
there's
in there.
There's so many books in our house.
The foundation is actually book.
Pretty much. So my mom is like, there's books everywhere. I don't have that many, to be honest with you. I have a lot of ebooks, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really like this book. I don't know what I'm going to move on to next. But
I'm telling
also
you,
that,
put it on your Instagram. And let's
I know, but
out.
Like, I also know that, like, if I get into another book when I finish this one, I'm not going to want to stop to do my notes for this weekend.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
But because I've like, so I bought like 8 books, so now I'm down to 7 or 8. I don't know if I bought 8 or 9. I'm excited though. We'll see.
Good for you. Reading is good.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a long time to get back into reading, because for a long time I was only reading for the podcast.
Right.
So this past year, like, I would say summer is when I started reading books besides Harry Potter and actually being able to finish them.
I think it started with Eye of the World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sparked my love of reading again, where, like, I would pick up a book and I just couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
So
I've been
and sometimes
in
it happens, like
that.
You know, if the, yeah, yeah, like, if it happens to you, it just... Honestly, it takes some time, and for me, maybe Eye of the World was just the right book because I finished it really quickly.
I was just about to say that from a teacher perspective.
Yeah,
it does. It takes the right book to draw
like,
you in.
I won't lie. I read. It sounds like my brother when I say this because he's like, I read every day. He reads academic articles. I read fan fiction. So a little bit of a different speed, but I do read things like every day. But now I've been reading my book to the point where my mom was like, not mad at me, but I'm not talking because I'm reading, and I don't think she likes it as much as she doesn't like me annoyingly talk all the time.
funny
yeah.
Okay, so I saw in the chat what this episode should be for Gryffindors and Grop.
I like it
and I also want to add in, but also for Michael Phelps.
Yes. Did you see someone said, because I called him a dolphin, someone said that he's my Patronus, and I said yes.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Okay, so for Gryffindors and Grop, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Say my name. No one is around you. You ain't running back. Say my name.
What is that?
Say my name.
Sasa.
Stop talking.
All right, let's go record.
Holy mackerel, we're out of here before 10 o'clock.
I'm shocked. I am shook.
Well, don't worry. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hi, I know you're hungry.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.